tonight we are going to hear about the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. We're hearing from Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course. Adi Lila, Chapter 3. Please bear in mind, those of you who are familiar with Chaitanya Charitamrita, that external does not mean inferior. Many devotees make the mistake. Not so much ISKCON devotees, but outside of ISKCON there is a conception that the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance, that means preaching the Yuga Dharma, is inferior. External meaning inferior. No. External means obvious, more obvious to the ordinary vision. It doesn't mean that Krishna has inferior things to do. Everything that Krishna does is superior. But there's the external, which is obvious, and then there's the internal, which is not so obvious. The next chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita will describe the not so obvious reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world. So please understand it. Otherwise, sometimes Vaishnavas from outside Prabhupada's line, they say that preaching is external and therefore it's inferior. Because the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance were to preach and establish the Yuga Dharma. But external does not mean inferior. Nothing that Krishna does is inferior. Some things are more obvious and other things are less obvious. So, we find that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing how once in every day of Lord Brahma, Lord Krishna appears. He appears about noontime of Brahma's day. Of course, how long is Brahma's day? Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita. Sahasra yuga paryantam ahaya brahmano vidyu. 4,320,000,000 years. That is the length of Brahma's day and the same of his night. So that means 24 hours in Brahma's time is equal to 8,640,000,000 of our years. That's a 24-hour period of Lord Brahma. When Krishna danced with the gopis in Rasa Leela, he made the night expand from the normal nighttime hours, say 12 hours, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. or something. He made that into a night of Lord Brahma. 4,320,000,000 years. In this way you can see that Krishna is expert in fulfilling the desires of his devotees. His dearest devotees asked that they could have Krishna as their husband, and Krishna fulfilled their desire during the autumn season when the beautiful full moon is there, the cool breezes, and he made a night extend the length of Lord Brahma's night. So this is the origin of glorifying wonderful nights out. It all comes from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People like to glorify their nights of Kali Yuga vices. Oh, what a night. But this explanation has its origin in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who could arrange a nighttime of his devotees to last the nighttime of Brahma? 4,320,000,000 years. He expanded that from an ordinary 12-hour period. That is God. Therefore we say, approach Krishna for your satisfaction. Don't be amazed how Krishna can expand a 12-hour night into 4,320,000,000 years. He could make his body so that Mother Yasoda couldn't get ropes around his small childhood. He could make himself so that when Mother Yasoda opened his mouth to look for dirt, she saw the entire cosmic manifestation. So why should we
be amazed that Krishna can make a 12-hour night turn into 4,320,000,000 years.
So Krishna comes once every day of Brahma, just after midday. Now, he's revealing his thoughts that, in the words of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus, for a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless, the situation of the material world. Krishna came as Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality Godhead, and then he departed from mundane vision. Of course, Krishna's departure does not mean he's gone. It means he's out of ordinary vision. Just like the sun apparently has disappeared now, but the fact is the sun is still shining. It's just to our vision there's no sun. But certainly there is the sun and it is shining. Similarly, according to our vision now, Krishna is no longer present. But certainly Krishna is present. It's just a question of our vision. In this way, we can understand that Krishna consciousness means how to always keep the Krishna sun present in your life. Prabhupada would like to give the example that if you're flying in an airplane going from east to west, you'll always be with the sun. Similarly, there's a way to always keep the Krishna sun in your life. Now, the Lord is revealing that everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regular principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees in Vrajabhumi. So this is the highest platform of religion and spiritual knowledge, in which apparently the Lord himself is looking down upon religious principles and scriptural injunctions. Apparently, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the graduate study of the human Srimad Bhagavatam. Adita, then there's Bhagavatam, and then there's Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, you have to be able to see what Krishna is saying in context. He's speaking from the highest platform. And he's speaking to those who don't need lessons in mundane religious morality. You know, like, do not steal, honor your father and mother, do not covet your neighbor's property. People who think that religion involves those things are not really understanding the real purpose of religion, which is to provoke ecstatic love of God. You may meet a few people today who still claim to be religious. So then they should show how they are developing an ecstatic love of God. Not just the performance of rituals and the reciting of empty slogans, but they should show that their life is advancing in love of God. Of course, if your life is advancing in love of God, then you must know something about God. Love brings knowledge of the person to whom you are attracted to. If you actually are developing love for someone, you're becoming aware of that person. Therefore, we ask the simple question, where is your knowledge of God? You say that you are trying to love God. Okay, present to us, where is your knowledge of God? Many people cannot understand that this is a big point. It doesn't dawn on them that they have no knowledge of God. They think, God? Well, you know, God is God. And that's all they know. That's all there is. God is God. You believe in him or not? You believe in him, you go to heaven. If you don't believe in him, you go to hell. You think that is your religion? No. That's the kindergarten. You call that the kindergarten? That is the kindergarten. You will hope and remember what kindergarten was like. Yeah, everything you have to do in a very regimented way, or is kindergarten not like that anymore?
Tosh, you have someone in kindergarten?
They're not in kindergarten. They are?
No.
Is it still very cordially and you have to do like this and do like that? Or no? They can run around and do whatever they like? But during school, during kindergarten class, they have to do what the teacher says, right? I remember going to kindergarten. I didn't like it. I didn't like following the rules. I would do things like pick up the chairs and put them on my head and things like that. Because I was bored. My mother had taught me how to read when I was like 3 and a half years old, so what am I supposed to do in kindergarten? Very bored. I still remember because one day I was really making a lot of trouble for the teacher, and then the school day ended, and I thought, okay, that's it. I got away, no problem. So as I was going outside the school where my father was waiting to pick me up in the car and some other neighborhood kids, the kindergarten teacher came out and told him that I had been misbehaving. So my father took me home and brought out the belt and laid some lashes across my rear. I still remember that. Anyway, that was the last time I misbehaved in school. So, in kindergarten, the teacher says, now sit at your desk, children. Now stand up from your desks. Now make a line, and we'll all leave the classroom. Remember all those kind of things? Repeat after me. Good morning, Mrs. Johnson. Good morning, Mrs. Johnson. Is it like this in India? Can they have such a thing like kindergarten? Or are these like Fijians here? Do you remember what that? Fijians are from India?
From India.
India, okay. So, no kindergarten there? It was like the first. Huh? So, religion, which simply talks about honor your father and mother, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not covet your neighbor's possessions or wife. This is kindergarten religion. Mm-hmm. Real religion means you're developing your ecstatic love of God. That means you have to know what is God. Here you have Chaitanya Charitamrita speaking on such a high platform, apparently decrying ritualistic religion according to regular principles. But it is not decrying regular principles of religion. And by the way, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is talking about regular principles, he's not talking about, you know, no weeding, no gambling. Those are just the basic principles of civilized life. It doesn't make you spiritual. He's talking about the regulated principles of devotional service, executing devotional service according to scriptural injunction. Well, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is pointing out that sadhana bhakti will not get you to the Loka Vrindavan. It will get you to Vaikuntha. But you see, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the highest literature, so it's talking about how to get to the Loka Vrindavan, Krishna's private, intimate abode. And for that, one needs spontaneous love of Krishna. What is spontaneous love of Krishna? Well, you can remember when maybe there were times when you did something for somebody because you had to. At least you did it. And then there were times when you did something for someone because you just wanted to. It just happened automatically. Oh, yes, I want to please you. So spontaneous loving service to Krishna is like that. You don't think about it. It just happens spontaneously out of attraction and attachment. So this is what Krishna is speaking about. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. The whole point is to understand the love of Krishna that is happening in Goloka Vrindavan. And that cannot be done simply by worshipping Krishna according to devotional rules and regulations. No, there should be the development of an attitude of spontaneous, unchecked attraction for Krishna. And how can you not be spontaneously attractive
to Krishna when Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful. By performing such regulated devotional service in awe and veneration, one may go to Vaikuntha and attain the four kinds of liberation. Who knows the four types of liberation? You know, do you?
Krishna?
Yes, Sarupya. Yes, Salokya. That's merging with the Lord, and like I said, one of the four, that's one of the five Vaishnavas don't consider at all that fifth one. Therefore, Krishna's Kavaras Vaishnava, you're talking about four. Even before someone whose vision is on Goloka Vrindavan is not concerned with the four, and certainly Vaishnavas have nothing to do with number five. Merging into the body of a Lord Sayuj Mukti is not on the list of the Vaishnava. There is no opportunity for service. Without devotional service, what is there to life? So there are two other opulences. There is Sarupya and Salokya, having the same form as the Lord and living on the same planet as the Lord. No one knows the other two?
Oh.
Same opulences, Sarshti, being an associate of the Lord, Sanitya. So this is Vaikuntha worship. Lord Chaitanya came to teach even beyond that. Therefore Lord Chaitanya prayed, "My dear Lord, you can do what you like with me. Make me brokenhearted, handle me roughly by your embrace. It doesn't matter, I'm your servant unconditionally." This is Krishna speaking. "I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service." The four rasas. There are five, but the fifth one, Chantaras, is sometimes considered one of the pure mellows of devotional service, and sometimes not. It's the beginning phase of appreciation. But the way Krishna is, because he's so attractive, if you have just a bit of appreciation, it quickly turns into service, dasharas. When you appreciate someone, you want to serve that person. And please note that the religion of this age, this horrible age of degradation, is congregational singing and dancing. That is the religion for this age. Please understand when you're having kirtan that the chanting and the dancing and the singing, that is the prescribed process for Kali Yuga, for those who want to elevate themselves. The Lord says, "I shall accept the role of a devotee and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. No one else but Krishna can teach Braja Bhakti, the love that is present in Vrindavan. No one but the Lord himself can distribute Braja Bhakti, the devotional service as practiced by the residents of Vrindavan." So in order to teach this highest spiritual knowledge and practice, Krishna himself came as his own devotee. He came in the guise of his own devotee, Lord Chaitanya. "My plenary portions can establish the principles of religion for each age. No one but me, however, can bestow the kind of loving service performed by the residents of Braj." So this is the special work of Krishna himself, Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality Godhead, to distribute Braja Prem, love of Krishna, in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Only Krishna himself personally can do that. Even his expansions and plenary expansions don't do that. Only Krishna himself, Swami Bhagavan, does that. And he does that as Lord Chaitanya. "Thus, the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvipa. He has the shoulders of a lion, the powers of a lion, and the loud voice of a lion. May that lion be seated in the core of the heart of every living being. Thus, with his resounding roar, may he drive away one's elephantine vices. Krishna's covers with Swami reveals that in the early pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world, he was known as Vishvambara, and then later he was known as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Now, if those of you who have read Krishna book closely and studied the Bhagavatam, you may remember what happened when Nanda Maharaj invited Garga Muni to perform the name-giving ceremony, the Namakaran ceremony for Krishna and Balaram, specifically Krishna. Nanda Maharaj was eager to take advantage of the presence of Garga Muni, the elevated sage, for performing the name-giving ceremony for his son. Obviously, Nanda Maharaj was not thinking that his son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has unlimited names. Now, by the covering of Yoga Maya, the Lord's internal energy, Nanda Maharaj never thought about that. He just thought, Krishna is my son. It's time for his name-giving ceremony. Garga Muni warned him, because I'm such a famous priest, if I do the name-giving ceremony for your boy, Kamsa's going to find out about it. And he may suspect that the Krishna who he's seeking to kill is somewhere in his village. So what to do? Nanda Maharaj began to think about it. I do want my boy to have the advantage of getting his name in the presence of such a revered sadhu as Garga Muni. At the same time, I also do want to protect my boy against any kind of danger. I don't want to put him in harm's way. If it's true that by Garga Muni performing the name-giving ceremony, it'll cause a lot of attention to our house, and Krishna may be discovered, and I don't want to do that. So, Nanda Maharaj thought of a compromise. In order to hold on to Garga Muni's presence, but at the same time, to not make a big public celebration, not a gala event, so that Kamsa wouldn't catch wind that there was something suspicious going on in Vrindavan. In this way, Nanda Maharaj had Garga Muni perform the Namakarana ceremony, the child's name giving ceremony, in a barn. In this way, it could be more incognito. During that ceremony, Garga Muni told some very interesting things, explaining to Nanda Maharaj, your boy is not ordinary. So, he explains, this boy Krishna has three other colors, white, red, and yellow. As he appears in different ages, now he has appeared in a transcendental blackish color. Shukla raktas tata bita idanim Krishna tam kata. The Lord has appeared in other ages. Reddish, whitish, yellowish, and now as Krishna, he's there, blackish. Idanim Krishna tam kata. The yellow refers to Lord Gaur, Lord Chaitanya. So let's read something about the body of Lord Chaitanya. The luster of his expansive body resembles molten gold. And have you ever seen a lot of gold glittering and very shiny? Well, if you've ever seen a lot of gold, then you'll understand Lord Chaitanya is being described as having a body of molten gold. You've never seen some famous singers and musicians with, you know, they wear these gold chains and gold whatever, if you never saw that. Even just one little piece of gold is very attractive, doesn't it? Shiny and pure. The Lord Chaitanya is described as having a body like molten gold. The luster of his expansive body resembles molten gold. The deep sound of his voice conquers the thundering of newly assembled clouds. And then there's a description about measuring the height and the breadth by the person's own hand can reveal the stature of that person. Just like some people can look at palms and tell about your life, similarly others can look at how tall you are. They can look at your physical features and they can tell you a lot about what's happened to you in life and what will happen to you in life. His arms are long enough to reach his knees. His eyes are just like lotus flowers. His nose is like a sesame flower. And his face is as beautiful as the moon. He is peaceful, self-controlled, and fully devoted to the transcendental service of Lord Sri Krishna. He is affectionate toward his devotees. He is gentle and he is equally disposed toward all living beings. It sounds like you do anything to be around this kind of person, doesn't it? To be around someone who is peaceful, self-controlled, fully devoted to the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, affectionate towards, the Lord is affectionate towards his devotees. The Lord is gentle and the Lord is equally disposed toward all living beings. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna demonstrates how he can be the source of all compassion and mercy. It's very wonderful to meditate on the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ordinarily, in the material world, most people are body conscious. They're always meditating on their own body and someone else's body. So in Krishna consciousness, we don't say, stop all contemplation of bodies. No. We want to contemplate the transcendental body of the Lord. Now, Lord Chaitanya's decorations are described. He is decorated with sandalwood bangles and armlets and anointed with the pulp of sandalwood. He especially wears these decorations to dance in Sri Krishna Sankirtan. There was a time, maybe it's not like that anymore, where people dress up to go to a club or a party or something like that anymore. Yeah, there's... Simon was telling me in the UK about his special party clothes, his club clothes. He said, you know, you get a loud, bright colored t-shirt and then you get your special dancing pants for dancing all night long. And now we're hearing that Lord Chaitanya wears decorations to dance in Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Alright, any questions at this point? Yes?
The religion of Aji that is ecstatic dancing in your head. So, don't in an asthmatic to be ecstatic Christian also do that.
Yes. We want everyone to chant the holy name as found in their scripture. The Christians want to chant Jesus, Jesus. The Muslims want to chant Allah, Allah. Very good. We support all that.
So it's the Christian ecstatic chanting that might be in an American church where everyone goes wild and you go completely crazy. Is that really behind everything? Oh, great.
Well, you know, that's where all the hip-hop, future hip-hop singers come from. Now that's religion and a mode of passion. A lot of material desires mixed with some religious feelings. Ecstasy, ecstatic love of God, means, as explained in Bhagavatam, first canto, Sabayabhun Samparo Dharma Yato Bhakti Ratoksute Ahaikakiya Pratiyata Yinatma Supras. That religion is considered first class, which can inspire its followers to develop pure love of God. You can tell
that there's pure love of God when the loving service to the Lord is free of all material motivations and is uninterrupted. So that is what is meant by ecstatic love of Krishna. Free from all material motivations and uninterrupted. You see, as soon as you have a material motivation about serving Krishna, then you'll interrupt your service and try to do something for the limited conception of yourself. Material reasons, material causes, material desires interrupt your service. But ecstatic love of God means there's no material motivation and there's no interruption. In atma supersedasi. The Bhagavatam says, in that way, the soul will be satisfied. We'll read more about the body of Lord Chaitanya and his activities. This is a verse from the Mahabharata denoting the appearance of Lord Chaitanya on the western side of India. People know very little about Lord Chaitanya. You can always show them Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna's coverage with so many quotes from so many other shastras besides Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita to establish Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, the original personality of God. So this verse is from the Mahabharata. Millions upon millions of people in India have read Mahabharata, but how many of them know that there's a verse referring to Lord Chaitanya in the Mahabharata? Suvarna varna he mango varangash chandanangali sanyasa krishchama shanto nishta shanti parayana. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. Next, Krishnas Kavira Goswami points out what is the Yuga Dharma in Kali Yuga, which of course is the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Now what about Lord Chaitanya? Kavira Goswami says, my dear brothers, please hear all these glories of Lord Chaitanya. This verse clearly summarizes his activities and characteristics. That's the it's referring to in the famous verse from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Krishna Vanam Sat Krishna Sangha Pangasya Parsha Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yujanti Yisumi. One who's intelligent worships the Lord through the Sankirtan movement. My dear brothers, please hear these glories of Lord Chaitanya. This verse clearly summarizes his activities and characteristics. The two syllables, Krishna, are always in his mouth. Or, he constantly describes Krishna with great pleasure. These are two meanings of the word Krishna Varna. Indeed, nothing else but Krishna issues from the Lord's mouth. If someone tries to describe him as being of blackish complexion, now then, to refute that, Krishna's Gavras Goswami is presenting so many verses establishing Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, the original personality of God. His complexion is certainly not blackish. Indeed, his not being blackish indicates that his complexion is yellow. One can vividly see his glowing complexion of molten gold, which dispels the darkness of ignorance. Aren't any questions? Yes.
Now, pardon me for asking this mundane question, but suppose the weight we do has an effect on our mind as well.
The what?
The type of weight we do has an impact on our thinking as well. I've been, since we started with the description of the last and the age, and I've been on computer and number crunching is what I do most of the time, forecasting and things like that. Look, according to the scriptures, Lord Krishna appeared some 5,000 years ago. This is material age. He said that the Vyasa was suspended by 8 billion, 4 billion something, 4 billion, 300 something. Does that mean that Lord Krishna continued with other meanings? And it finished?
That mean what?
Does that mean that the Vyasa itself is continuing today in some other planet? Or
some other universe.
Some other universe.
Yeah. But no, that's something else though. It's just that Lord Krishna made the night of the Rasa Leela as long as a night of Brahma.
So how can you relate that to the materialism then?
You don't relate Rasa Leela to materialism. You don't talk about Rasa Leela to materialism. Do the things for the devotees to relish. What is that? Can you change the ring? A new telephone or something?
Oh.
I've heard worse. So, yes, we don't speak or possibly let the materialists. Just like you would not speak of your inner family affairs to those who have no affinity for you. Similarly, we don't speak of Krishna's inner affairs to those who have no affinity for Krishna. We just teach Bhagavad Gita. And if they can't even handle Bhagavad Gita, then we just have kirtan. Even pastimes like baby Krishna stealing butter. We don't explain to materialists. They can't understand that. Muck and joy, butter thief. They don't understand that they have the propensity to steal because originally that propensity is in the cause of all causes. The source of everything, Krishna. Mm-hmm. No, only. He only comes in the Kali Yuga after Krishna appears. So Lord Chaitanya only comes once every day of Brahma, just like Krishna comes once every day of Brahma. Krishna comes and says, surrender to me. Sarvadhanam Vrityaja Mahamedam Shadanam Raja. Then, sometime later, Krishna and Lord Chaitanya notices that although Krishna came and asked everyone to surrender, they're not doing that. Therefore, I shall distribute Krishna freely to everyone. Krishna is the only male. Everyone else is female.
Yeah.
That's real feminism. Deka is here from Christchurch because she was concerned to what is the woman's role in Krishna consciousness? Do they get to, control and assert themselves, or do they simply do menial tasks, menial service? So I told her to come visit Wellington stuff. She could see that ladies, they have opportunity to preach and organize many things. She was reading in the Bhagavatam about how women have certain roles. So I explained to her that this is not Vedic culture now. The women aren't like Draupadi or Kunti, and the men are not like Yudhisthira or Arjuna. Often the men, they demand, the Shastra says, you must submit to me, I am the Pati Guru. Okay, but then the men have to be of the quality, of a high quality. But the men are not like Yudhisthira or Arjuna, and the women are not like Kunti and Kunti.
Of course, those coming from Indian background, that tradition is still there. It's dissipating very quickly though. I was just at a retreat in Italy with a group of Indian youth called the Pandava Sangha. You've heard of them? They're from East London, where there are many Indian families living in East London, and so the young people there, they have a Krishna conscious like youth group between the age 15 and 30. And every year they go somewhere for a retreat. So this year they chose to go to Italy, to Prabhupada Desh, a rural project near Venice, Italy. 150 of them. They chartered a plane. So I could tell immediately what was going on, but some of my godbrothers, they thought, oh, these are Indian youth there, you know. They'll be very pious, they'll be very not so contaminated, very well mannered. I knew better. So I started talking to them and found out what they're into. Because I noticed the first day it was very hot, it was 30 degrees. And they were all complaining. So I said to them, come on, you know. You're from India, what are you complaining about 30 degrees? India, got nothing to do with that place. That's where our parents and grandparents are from. We're from East London, we don't worry about India. So then they started telling about what they're into. They're all into rap music and hip hop music. Completely into it. They were telling me they have a big Diwali gathering. They call it that. They tell all their parents, we're going to a Diwali gathering. And the parents think, oh yes, this is our tradition, our Hindu tradition. But actually, what's happening for the Diwali gathering, the parents go to some Hindu hodgepodge temple for Diwali, and they think their kids are going to some youth Diwali gathering, but actually the so-called youth Diwali gathering is a big hip-hop party where 10,000 Indian youth come together and just dance to, you know, yeah, this American hip-hop music. And, you know, they're all taking intoxication and doing wild things, and but they tell their parents, they're going to the Diwali celebration tonight. So, they were explaining to me, yeah, that's what we're into. Yeah, we're all into that kind of music. Those are our heroes. Eminem. So I said, okay, what do you do with these big raves that you go to? You know, we don't take ecstasy. You know, the pills, we don't take that. That's what the white British do. I know the Indian British youth, we don't take ecstasy, because when you take ecstasy, no one can tell you're intoxicated. And you know, they told me, we want, you know, like you show off. So you want to smoke marijuana or drink, then everybody knows. You know, they can smell the marijuana, they can smell the alcohol, and therefore you're known to be cool. And they explained to me that, of course, we're not degraded like the white British, you know, having, you know, so many girlfriends and boyfriends and burnt out in that way. No, no, we're coming from, you know, Indian backgrounds of traditional Indian culture. So we only have one girlfriend or boyfriend at a time. Only one at a time, because we're coming from the Indian cultural tradition. So this is going on. Ideally, the man should be Krishna conscious and strong enough to guide and protect the woman. But we just can't generalize these days. So what we try to do is prepare everyone to be strong. We just don't know how things are going to work out. Everything's upside down these days. There's no culture to support people in their spiritual endeavors. So anyway, Becca, she was concerned that, you know, I like everything about Krishna consciousness, but this thing. So I told her, if you come to Wellington and you can see that ladies, they're happily engaged in Krishna service. And people, she wrote, I don't agree that women should, and what did you say? They should, you know, be the slaves of the men. And I said, well, I don't agree either. You don't go for the supremacy of one sex over another. Then why do you live in New Zealand where the government's controlled by women? I read 4 out of the top 5 government posts in New Zealand are held by women. When a man is Bill English, is he still in charge of the opposition party? And when he got that post, the Australian newspapers were joking. I read, we're very glad that New Zealand is recognizing minority rights. A man has got the political post in their government. So, you want to preach? You want to help people become Krishna conscious? No one's stopping you. No one's saying, oh, you're a woman, you can't do that. So what is your complaint? The body is a limitation, yes. Different bodies limit in different ways, but you're not the body. I mean, my body has limited me. I can't have kids. That's a limitation, isn't it? I can't give birth. So, the body has limited me. And you can't father a child. Your body has limited you, right? Okay. So what is your plan? Different types of intelligence? You see, in a proper society, Vedic culture, which you don't have today, you can see a more pronounced difference between men and women. Now, because everything is upside down, getting harder and harder to see the difference. Mainly because the men are so weak. That's why the women are wondering, how can it be said that men are more intelligent? Look at those guys. And why are the men so weak? Why do you think the men are so weak? Yes. Because they've just been overloaded with illicit sex since the age of 12. Therefore, they're weak. So you have to take into account that these are very degraded times. And in classical Vedic culture, you'll see real men, and then the ladies surrender. But the ladies feel reluctant to surrender these days because the men are so unqualified. And of course, the ladies have helped the men become so unqualified. Right? So everybody's to blame. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone is born Sudra. Everyone, male or female. Everyone is born fourth class, laborer intelligence. From the gross body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The subtle body is a template. You know what a template is?
Yeah.
Upon which the gross body develops. Spiritual intelligence means how to serve Krishna. To submissively hear the Shastra, that develops spiritual intelligence. Hearing with submission. You cannot understand Krishna with like mundane academic abilities. You have to hear submissively. Not that you hear one sentence and you challenge. Hear another sentence, then you challenge. Krishna says only by devotional service can it be understood. Once a lady devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, can a woman become a pure devotee? Prabhupada said, no, not as long as she thinks she's a woman. So everyone has to get off the bodily platform. A man cannot become a pure devotee, a woman cannot become a pure devotee. You have to get off the bodily platform of life. You understand? So the way things are today in most parts of the world, and India is rapidly becoming that way, it'll take another probably 20, 30 years. But everywhere else it is a fact that the men are weak because the women have indulged them. And so, therefore, the women say, hey, how can these Vedic literatures say the men are more intelligent than the men are to protect us? We're supposed to depend on those guys? Forget it. But the women had helped to make the men so weak. The men didn't do it all by themselves. Everyone is of low grade intelligence these days.
I agree that we actually.
What do you mean by devotional service is centered around the body?
Like
what, for example? It is a fact that men cannot have babies. Nothing to do about that. But like, what do you mean? Give me an example. Like what, for example?
That women like to be right, and God was like things like that. As sort of the natural woman sort of like dark out that everything portrayed in.
That refers to materialistic activity. Are you a materialist? Well, then you'll have problems. And you have to understand how Prabhupada meant that. Okay, let's put it in contemporary terms. What is a woman looking for when she puts on tight clothes, takes some drugs, and goes to a club? What is she looking for? Right. That's what Prabhupada was referring to. She wants someone to, right? That's why she goes to all that trouble. She wants someone to approach her. So that's what Prabhupada meant. From the eyes of someone who's cultured, that means the woman is putting herself forth to be assaulted. Of course, the women today don't consider that it's assault. They consider, you know, in fact, they think they are the ones in control. But to the eyes of someone who's very cultured, it's abominable behavior, and the woman is basically volunteering herself, please assault me. But the women are so foolish these days, they don't see it that way. They think it's all, well, we're having fun. When actually, a cultured person can see. When a woman's putting on, just like these Pandava Sain youth from East London, they were telling. I said, well, what do your parents say about all this? What can they say? You know, they just turn a blind eye, you know? They see their daughters putting on tight clothes and going out at night, and they just kind of look the other way. What can they say? They don't know how to cope with it all. So, since you asked about that statement by Prabhupada, you have to see the cultural context. When a woman puts on tight clothes or scanty attire and goes out at night, you know, basically she's saying, who's going to take me tonight? That's what Prabhupada means. Suppose she's dressed like that and goes to a club and all the men just... How will the woman of today feel? Yeah, rejected. See, that is the blood. So therefore, Prabhupada said the mundane women like a man who's expert at coercing. They don't want the guy just to all the guys at the club just to. Right? The woman is going there to be accosted. You know this word accosted? What's another word for accosted? Attacked! Attacked! So that's what Prabhupada is referring to. You have to understand his perspective. Basically, when the woman goes to the club, you know, attired like that, she's like, come attack me. I like it. Come attack me. Here I am. Come on, guys. Where are you? Let's go. Right? 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 Is it right? Okay, now you understand what Paul meant. Thank you. So, a few lady devotees have a problem with this state. This is the fourth canto in the story of Paranjan, in the purport, where Prabhupada writes in the purport that women like men, a man who's expert at rape. You have to understand the cultural context of that.
Mark.
So I just explained to you the context. Now you understand? He doesn't mean like, you know, you're walking down the street and someone attacks you. He doesn't want referring to that. You're referring to the, you know, as we discussed, a woman dresses very scantily. I mean, you ever wonder, you know, do you know what men think when a woman dresses like that, the way they do normally these days? You know what men think? Huh? You the men know, right? They, it means green light, right? Right? It means a little... Who are some ex-party enjoyers here? What does it mean, Johnny? If you went to a party and there's the girls dressed the way they usually dress today, you know, with these, what do you call them? I don't know, tank tops or, short skirts or tight pants. What's the first thing you think?
She's going to be
Yeah, a green light, right? Action tonight, right? So, and why is the woman dressed like that? To be chaste? Okay, why does she dress like that? To attract more than attention, right? In Kali Yuga terms, she wants her night successful, right? Right? Okay then. Therefore, Prabhupada's statement. You understand that? Wasn't that so with your friends? Your ex-friends of Kali Yuga, huh? Yeah. Oh, they didn't have to spend... They had that intention.
Yeah.
They didn't have to spend the money on the clothes.
No,
okay, thank you. All right. Now you understand?
Yeah.
If they went to a club, your friends went to a club, and no man approached them, how would they feel? Say what? Right, the night was a disaster. So therefore, now why you criticize Prabhupada when he makes that statement? They say, no, it says they like a man who's expert at that. So basically, you understand Prabhupada's cultural perspective that they like, you know, a materialistic woman likes someone, likes a man who will present himself, you know, who will forward himself. It's something to do. Otherwise, their life is boring. They feel like no one cares for them. No one's noticing them. Thank you. Yeah, that's to kind of give real life examples. Otherwise, you know. Who's Prabhupada talking about? How dare he say that? Offending our honor and integrity. What honor? What integrity? Let's be for real, you know. It's there even in other animal species. I was watching a nature video about tigers. So it came that time of the year when the female tiger, she was ready to socialize. And so when that time of the year comes, the female tiger gives off a fragrance, and male tigers for miles around can smell it, and they know it's a female tiger who's lonely. And so the male tiger approaches the female tiger in her lair, and she growls at him and drives him away. And he comes back the next day. She growls at him again. And he goes away.
He comes back again the next day. Again. And he goes away. Then the fourth time or so, he comes back. All of a sudden, she's purring and, you know, making soft sounds in her throat, you know. And so then a baby tiger is conceived. So, you know, this kind of stuff, these kind of rituals go on in all species of life. Any other doubts? Yeah, on this subject. Yeah. The problem in understanding those statements is that we take our current degraded culture as having some kind of value, and Prabhupada didn't see any value in it at all. Basically what he's saying is that when a lady dresses like that and goes to a club, first, number one, she's dressing like that. Number two, she's going to a club. That means she's saying, assault me. Right? Anyone from India would know that. You see a woman dressed like that in India, you know, low class. Everybody knows, but here it's a mystery. How did Prabhupada say that? In India, you dress like that, everyone knows this is a low class person. In fact, they'll know it's a prostitute. Right? You understand that? It's not that no one goes to prostitutes in India, but. But the fact is, if someone dresses like that, any respectable person knows this is a prostitute. Whether by trade or by disposition, still the same thing. You understand that? So that's the perspective Prabhupada was speaking from. But the problem is, you take that kind of situation as normal. That's the problem. Just like these young Indian boys and girls, they were telling me they're heroes. You know, they're mentioning all their hip hop singers and this is and that. And I said, I know where all these people are coming from. Their lives are horrible. They're misleading everyone else to live such horrible, degraded lives. So they mentioned someone's name, some female singer. I just said, her? I said, she's just a glorified prostitute. He said, what do you mean? How can I say that? Do you know, didn't you just read in the newspapers that she admitted that in 1 year she had had three partners in 1 year? And so the newspaper reporter asked her, did you feel like you were a failure at having relationships? And she said, well, I guess you could look at it in that way, but I rather feel that, you know, each man was a learning experience. I rather feel that, you know, I learned something from each one, you know. You know, three in 1 year. But from a civilized point of view, that is prostitution. And that's how this particular singer got to be so prominent. She made herself available to all the top producers and, you know, public relations persons. Everyone knows that. But he said, oh, she's a prostitute. Ooh, how can you say that? It's like in India, everyone knows about the top film stars. Everyone knows. That's how they get to the top, you know. In Bollywood, that's how you get to the top. You have to play the game. You understand that? You have to see through a different perspective. You have to understand that Prabhupada saw no value in Western so-called civilization. And if you still see value in Western civilization, you'll have some trouble with some things Prabhupada said. Just like I've met, you know, young ladies who are going to university and at night they have another occupation in order to pay for their university. And they defend themselves like, hey, you know, we're doing what we have to do in order to get the benefits of higher education. We're doing what we have to do in order to, you know, get the supreme gift of university education. And they said, and why should anyone criticize us that we have this nighttime occupation? We're doing the same thing that every girl at the university does, except we get paid and they don't. So why should we be criticized? We're getting money for it. They don't get money. They're doing the same thing for free. That is the current so-called culture, correct? Okay. And of course, this is affecting India also. That's why I made the front page of the Indian Express telling them that the students at IIT, their most prestigious scientific university, the students told me that 80% of the men are using their high-speed internet connections to view pornography. So I said, what is the future of the country? This is what your brightest students are doing. They put it on the front page of the Indian Express. Swami Devarita from New Zealand exposes what goes on at IIT. Better than thinking that Prabhupada maybe doesn't understand, better we try to understand the horrible degradation that we've been rescued from. That's a better stance to take. Okay? And then the Bhagavatam will reveal itself to you much better. But if we kind of take this attitude now,
how could Prabhupada say such things? We're all so pure, such integrity.
Forget it. You get the point? Hey, now you're here, you can see how you can do so many things. Is anyone telling you you can't preach because you're a woman? What do you want to do? Want to preach? Want to be kirtan? You want to give class? What do you want to do?
That I can't do? Or?
What do you want to do? Yeah, you can. Who's saying you can't do something? Julia, do you feel that within you, because of your body, there's some service you can't do? Well, that's another thing. If they're more experienced, they're more experienced. I mean, what are we supposed to do, you know?
We're supposed to get experience
from ourselves. Okay. So, we can help you do that. I mean, come on, you know, how long have you been around for? Huh? I mean, in practicing full sadhana. 8 months since off?
8 months since the...
No, but chanting your rounds and all that. 1 year. Okay.
Yeah,
okay, so. It's not like it's been forever, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been patient.
And
they
actually have people doing it.
Oh, that's why I told you, come visit here. Yes, you'll see the real liberated women. Seeing is believing. Okay? Yes.
Material nature in Kali Yuga doesn't behave as it has in the past, and it's a little bit unpredictable. How are we to know how to deal with that problem?
What does Shukadeva Goswami say to Prajit Maharaj? Kalaya dosa nidevajan asti heko mahangana kirtanareva krishna sya mukta sangaparanda. This age of Kali is like an ocean of faults. You cannot get to the end of a fault. There's only one good thing about the age of Kali. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you can obtain freedom from material existence. The only one good thing. Now, if the chanting of Hare Krishna becomes widespread, it may be possible that in the wake of chanting Hare Krishna, you can establish some rudiments of Varnashram society. But without chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, forget it. So therefore we're stressing the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And then we'll see what comes in its wake. You interact for Krishna's pleasure.
On the sadhana platform, being through various principles.
Give me an example of what you mean.
What do you say? That's the interaction between male and female on the
they have, the males that have a nature and the females have a nature. So this one is a particular way the interaction goes.
You have to be more specific. What do you exactly mean?
Say, for example, dealing with trying to encourage people.
To do what?
In Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
How do you interact with them in such a way that they feel encouraged?
Interact with who? Well, that's a big question. Try to be their friend. Recognize that people are lonely more now than ever before. Don't be fooled by the fact that they may be externally acting so sociable and having so many partners and going to so many parties. They're more lonely than ever before. You found it out, Tosh? They're actually very lonely, aren't they? So don't be fooled. You don't have to stick it under the nose. I know you're lonely. But you should know that for yourself. Well, you're just starting. Come on, this is a lifetime occupation. Just the fact that you're trying gives pleasure to Krishna. It's a continuous development, you know? Like learning anything, gradually you get more and more expert. Just like someone like Adhidev, who's a martial arts expert. He can just look at someone with one finger. He can knock them down. Right? Yeah. That's after so many years of training. Similarly, after so many years of preaching, you get to the point where you can just say a few words and like I was speaking to Tosh when the first time I met her, she was 16 years old. She just walked in the door. That was 7 years ago. First time, I just told her straight out what was going to happen to her. This is going to happen. That's going to happen to you. First time I met. And that was right. Unfortunately. So that kind of skill comes by experiencing caring for others. Even though I was telling her some very strong things, she knew that I cared. She remembered. Basically, I told her, you're going to get into trouble. You don't understand. You're going to get in trouble. I told it right in front of the guy she was with also. Right? Oh, what were you thinking at the time? You didn't understand, right? Yeah. Here's this innocent 16-year-old girl, you know? With this really experienced guy. Came in the door at that son's house. I just said, you're going to get into big trouble. Right the guy here. What did he think? What did he say after that? You remember? Yeah. He probably said something so you forget it all. I don't worry about it. I'll never mistreat you. That's what he meant usually. So that skill develops after a long time of caring, showing compassion for others. You gotta start somewhere. Basically, it's learning how to be a personalist. How to care for others for Krishna's sake. It's the most exciting career. I think the first time I met Becca, I told you straight out, didn't I?
You told me what my ex was. I don't like this one. You told me you like this. And I was like, oh, yes, I am.
And she went through a period of, you know, he doesn't really know me. Yet. Because finally she, you know, reverted to her original understanding. She had to fight back for a while, right? Right? Show you were superior. More intelligent. Preaching is based on compassion, caring. Not that I'm going to show how much I know. I'm the Hare Krishna. You are an Honda Uji. We have all the answers. You are Maya. Don't use Krishna consciousness as a device for showing your superiority. When I preach, I'm thinking what I'm saying is actually meant for me because I'm the worst. And if this person becomes Krishna conscious, this person will be a much better devotee than me. You understand? Practice! But Michelle and Glenn, they can probably remember I said some heavy things, right? Probably sometimes you're thinking, I have to listen to this guy, right? So you never thought that, huh? He never thought that? You can tell the truth. She won't say anything. Hopefully they understood that there was a lot of care and compassion behind all of it. I determined that they not suffer material existence. But for a while, they were determined to suffer material existence. So it was a bit of a battle. We want everyone here to learn the art of reaching out to others with compassion. That's what's required for these things. Without that, Prabhupada's mission will not go on. This is what made the difference in Christ Church. They started to reach out with care and compassion. Whereas for quite some years, the temple had become dry and empty, right? And then a few devotees started to reach out with care and compassion. And everything started to work again. So that's what I'm teaching you to do.
Sometimes it takes a lot of work to cultivate people, and then they come for a long time. But how do you know when to, if you're not going to take up the process, how do you know when to not put too much energy in?
That's something you learn by doing. And sometimes you're surprised. I haven't seen Tosh since, what, 1999? When I stayed at her house? 99. And now she comes, here she is. I saw her in 1996 for the first time. Then the last time I saw her was 99. Again, I told her something that happened. I told her the guy she was with, although he seemed to be interested in Krishna consciousness, I said, he's not going to do it. You're going to become Krishna conscious and it's going to be without him. I told that in 1999. Now it happened as son. Right? So there's also the time factor. Maybe in your past life, you were like one of those who, you know, just took up Krishna consciousness briefly then went back to Maya. There's all gain. There's no loss in distributing Krishna consciousness to someone. Just like Vanessa. Suppose Vanessa disappears. Was there a loss that she, for several months, got up at 3:30 and she went up to the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam and chanted 60 rounds of Hare Krishna? Was that a loss? No, it'll be an eternal asset. Even if she doesn't do anything more in her life, she'll have those assets for her next life. So it's all gain. All right, we'll end here. Bhagavatam class tomorrow. Hare Krishna.